So we're reading from Psalm 72 tonight. If you have one of the church Bibles, it's on page 573. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Right, Psalm 72. This is the word of the Lord. Of Solomon, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal sons. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteousness flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all the kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be an abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountain may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continues as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.
Good evening, church. I got said evening rather than morning. We're doing well. It's so good to be with you this evening. I'm an early 90s baby, which means that probably you either think I'm too old or too young to be up here. But I think that it means that I kind of grew up at like peak TV jingle period of like television advertising. That's meant to be funny, guys. Come on, let's please give me something. So like, do you know what I mean? Like those TV kind of adverts that were just like, they were bangers, whether they knew it or not. Earworms that kind of went deep, they drilled into your brain so that I've never forgotten them. And so I'm gonna sing some of them for you. This one, I reckon this one was like on television for like less than like a short Christmas period. Do you remember Sock and Boppers? Anyone? Anyone remember Sock and Boppers? No, okay. So I'm gonna sing it for you. So the song went, you can Google this. So it's sock as in like you wear socks, M as in Sock and Boppers. It was like big kind of inflatable gloves you put on your hands so you could punch each other as children and no one actually got hurt. Sock and Boppers, it went, sock and boppers, sock and boppers. More fun than a pillow fight. You know, it's great. clearly they're all in my brain. Or maybe you know this one. The song goes, call, call, carpet call, the expert, you know, you have to go deep, the experts in the trade. You know, the earworms that kind of get into your brain and they're stuck there. Well, I'm going to say this phone number for you. Don't change the slide yet. Can you tell me what the answer is? What is it? It's 1300 655 06. That is the Reading Writing Hotline, good work, good work. Clearly, you guys are as cursed as I am. Why am I starting like this? Well, these songs, you know, they've got one particular message, right? They want to get in and go deep into your brain so that if you need carpet, right, the first thing you're going to go is, oh, I need to call Carpet Call because they're the experts in the trade. Who else am I going to go to? Everyone, no one else is the experts in the trade. The songs go deep and they kind of force your mind to think about particular things. And that's what, I think, that's what one of the things that Psalms do. Psalms, they paint these vivid pictures for you in song form. And they have like particular words all the way through so that when you hear those words again, you go, oh yes, I know where to look. I know where the answer is. They turn your heart and mind to their product or service in advertisements. But Psalms draw your hearts ever to God. So that when you're suffering, when things are hard, these songs reach into the deepest parts of you and remind you where to go. It's as if your mind, kind of in the deepest rooms there, have songs of comfort ready to guide you home. Songs of peace for those hard times. Songs of joy to like lift your heart when maybe you feel like you don't have any. Solomon has a song for us today, Psalm 72, where we look for our king, long for our king. This is a song kind of for the installation of a king to guide our eyes ultimately to the perfect king. I imagine Solomon's kind of on his deathbed. He's lived a long life, like a fantastic reign, and he's reflecting on all he's done and achieved. Reflecting on all, actually, he's been also told by his father about the promised king that God promised to his people. The kind of this picture of a Davidic king, a king who's going to rule over all kings. And Solomon knows that that's not him. But it is the king that he is longing for and looking for. And so Solomon in our psalm this evening is going to point us there. Kind of he's enthralled, he's entranced, and he wants us to be so as well. We're going to look at this psalm this evening in 3 points. Solomon wants us to long for a king who's in God's image, sing of his complete rule. And then our third point is Solomon wants us to praise our God as king. Come with me. Verse 1, we're going to long for a king in God's image. What does verse 1 say? Of Solomon, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. It starts with strong. God, may this king, may he reflect you as he shepherds your people. And do you hear the emphasis? Solomon knows straight off, these are your people. And so this king needs your justice and your righteousness. Solomon knows that the role of the king was to be the ultimate law keeper of the people. He was the final high court. One of the king's like first jobs, you get the crown and you kind of need to go lock yourself in a room and write out for yourself a copy of the law and then to enact that, kind of ensuring justice and to be a judge. And when we think of judge, I think, you know, in the Australian system, we have kind of the wig-wearing kind of guy. But that's not the image of a judge in the Old Testament. The image of a judge is an active defender. C.S. Lewis points out that it's an active defender who comes and protects the vulnerable and defeats God's enemies. That is the judge that Solomon is looking for. But what else? What else is this king going to do? See verse 3. Lord, let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people to give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. I always think that that's incredibly song-like for a song because creation gets involved. It's as if the hills are actually alive with the sound of music. Because this king's rule, as he reigns with justice, it brings forth prosperity. You know, whenever I think of prosperity and hills, I always imagine like those lush green hills, and there's all these little lambs kind of frolicking down. You know, it's a land where even the weakest of lambs are safe and protected. You know, they're not overrun by attackers. There's no wild beasts that are kind of just going to run in and snatch sheep away. You know, the land is well maintained. Justice is in place. This is a king who's not merely kept busy by the wealthy, but sees and protects the afflicted. He saves the children, those who are most vulnerable, those unable to protect themselves. Solomon's looking forward to and singing of a king who judges rightly and rules correctly and reflects God as he rules and serves him. A king that kind of understands God, his law, and cares for the thing that God cares about. I kind of always enjoy mirror rooms at carnivals. I don't know about you. I think they're a great laugh. I really like kind of these ones because they're kind of really funny. My children kind of like bend over laughing because they kind of make your body all funky, right? Like, you know, they make you have super long arms, super tall. I love the tall one. It's like, if that was me, I could play basketball. That's the basketball version of me. Like those are all real reflections, right? They are reflecting me, but they're out of whack. Their proportions are all wrong. And Solomon, he's singing of this king in the right proportions, but Solomon knows that actually in all of his wisdom, his reign as God's king, he failed to get it right. You know, under Solomon, the land did prosper. But I don't know if you've ever spent some time in like the first few chapters of 2 Chronicles. It's like a roller coaster. You know, kind of for every part of Solomon's reign that was good, kind of there's another part just kind of just around the corner where there's a major sin area that kind of just dominates his life. You know, Solomon tries to reflect God, but it's a marred image. Solomon reminds us that actually that's like us. That's like me. I'm made in God's image. But how poorly do we reflect our Creator? And actually all rulers poorly reflect their Creator. We need to remember that all rulers are actually sinful. None of them are perfect. I think we can sometimes kind of, you know, we get dragged into thinking that, oh, if only this person was in power, if only this person was kind of king or ruler, then, you know, and some rulers are better than others. Some will rule more godly than others. But if we put our hope ultimately in these kinds of people, like we're only going to be disappointed. Solomon points us not to our earthly rulers, but to something greater. As he lifts this prayer to God, that there is a coming king who would be a perfect reflection of God and his rule. Solomon points us there and not to anything that's on earth. Ultimately, he prays that God would send a king who would reflect God perfectly. Solomon looks for and longs for a king who's in God's image and reigns like him. The natural flow on from that, a king that's going to rule and reign perfectly, is a king that's going to actually have a complete rule. This is our second point. I think that in the Bible, if you kind of rate the kings, one of the top ones would have to be Solomon. You know, he did have some major flaws, but it would have just been phenomenal to live during his reign. You know, under him, the kingdom of Israel prospered. If you read parts of 2 Chronicles, you know, and it might be slightly hyperbole, but it talks about silver and gold being as common as stones. You know, Solomon builds the temple, in a massive building, grand in scale, and it's covered in gold. You know, there would have been times of the day kind of walking around Israel where you could not look in the direction of the temple. Because I reckon you would have just been blinded by the reflecting light. It's kind of like 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon now. There are some roads you don't want to drive down because you just get blinded by the sun. Except now it's kind of like multiple times a day walking down particular roads. So much gold. And inside that temple, you know, massive statues of cherubim. And kind of not the little babies, but actually like massive angelic figures. The description kind of gives you as like wings 2 meters across, covered in gold. Kind of at every point of this temple, it's gold, its expanse kind of weaved its way through. And we read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the first kind of 10 verses. You know, the temple gets dedicated. 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep. Kind of like every aspect of Solomon's reign is massive and over the top. God's blessings kind of poured out and seen to be poured out. What I think this psalm does is Solomon kind of brings us in and says, guys, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait for this coming king. See that with me. We're going to see that in the length of his reign. Verse 5, how long will his reign be? We'll see, what does verse 5 say? May they fear you while the sun endures, as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like grass that falls on the mown, may he be like the rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. You know, kind of think of like, I don't know if you've gone walking out in the morning and kind of there's just the beautiful dew that's on the grass. You kind of walk on it. If you go outside and you walk on it, you kind of regret it. But it's just full of life. You know that that grass is going to go well during the day. Verse 7, in his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon is no more. Solomon in his reign was wise. Like he was wise. It was wonderful, but it was limited. You know, Solomon reigns 40 years and then his reign ends. His son takes over and it's a disaster. Solomon sings and draws our eyes to see a king that rules with righteousness will bring stability for the entire length of his rule. I think lots of countries understand that now, like nowadays, China and Russia have locked in their kind of like key top leaders because they know that as long as they're ruling, this direction of their country is going to continue. They're not saying that that's good, but you know, they know what they're doing in that regard. You know, in Australia, who knows? You know, we got our leader for, you know, do you remember Kevin Rudd and then Julia Gillard? You know, who knew who was leader at some points of that? Australia was kind of like, what's happening? But not in this king, right? Solomon points us to a king who's going to reign forever. You know, a kingdom itself which, you know, conforms itself to the king. The king is righteous, rules with righteousness, and so the kingdom likewise follows. It's as if the king's godliness and his obedience to God's law transforms the country. Where those that live in there also are transformed to be like him. That those that follow and love this king find prosperity and peace. That's kind of the length of his reign, but then it moves on to the area of his reign. It follows a similar pattern. See that in verses 8 and 9. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. It's kind of like a riff on Solomon's own kind of reign there. It's like Solomon takes out a map and starts kind of pointing like north, south, east, west, kind of the whole map. You know, have a look. And Solomon says, actually, it pales in comparison. You know, this person rules from, you know, from the ocean to the sea, kind of north, like the whole earth comes underneath this king. You know, the rule of this coming king dwarfs that of Solomon's. You know, this is as large as Israel ever got. How is this going to happen? I think this psalm shows us that actually that's not going to be through conquest. Because I think here Solomon speaks with greater wisdom and insight than he ever actually lived out by showing what qualifies this king to rule this kingdom. In verse 12, he points us to this king's heart, his heart for his people. Verse 12, for he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy. He saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. And precious is their sight, is their blood in his sight. Now, this king of this grand kingdom that covers the entire earth has a heart for the smallest and lowest of people. He's not a government minister who's just kind of always out there with the rich and the powerful and the businessmen, but never gets the time to actually meet the individuals and their needs. No, not this king. Now, this is a king who delivers the needy when they cry out. He comes to those afflicted who have no one to help them. He's there with them. Those in pity, he steps down to help. He's personal and knows his people intimately. Yeah, and this is definitely us, right? In our sin, in our weakness, we are the weak and the needy who can't save ourselves. We are the poor who has no helper. We are the needy that need help. And so how good is it that verse 14 is this king's slogan? And this is kind of the center part of this psalm. The major point, see, verse 14. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. He will rescue his people. Though they're surrounded from every side, he will come and rescue them because they are so precious to him. Solomon longs and looks forward to this king. But we get to look back at him and see him clearly as Jesus. Solomon looks forward and just sees kind of in shadow what we get to see face on. Because not only is Jesus one of David's own family, but he is the one who did live this righteous life, who did come as king and was not swayed at all by the religious leaders and those in power, but spent time with the lowly and the sick and the poor. He came for those who had no helper, who gave all that he was for them. He came to save, he defeated death to save them from death, even at the cost of his own life. When we can't save ourselves from our sin, which is all of the time, he comes and redeems us because we were precious in his sight. I think this reminds us that we weren't lovely and then Jesus came and saved us. But actually, we were needy. We were weak. And Jesus comes for us. Not because we deserve it, but because he is so loving and loves us so much. He gives all that he is for those that will turn to him. And I think one of the ways that the nations are brought in, you know, that all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him, that happens not by conquest, but because they see and delight in the goodness of God shown through this king. So that the people come and want to serve. They give up all that they are and have to come live under this king who loves them more than we love ourselves. And like, is that not true today? Jesus calls his followers at the Great Commission to go. You know, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. Tell them about this rule and my love. How Jesus gave himself and all that he had to save a people for himself, to save them from their sins. You know, and our psalm is right. The nations, people will hear and respond. You know, it's gone to all the nations. Australia is so far, but it has yet to go further. There are still so many that don't know about what this king has done for them. And maybe that's you here tonight. Maybe we're coming to this psalm and it's a bit confusing. You're not really sure what to do with Jesus. Maybe this is the first time you've heard of Jesus. I want to say that how Jesus is shown here as this king who gives himself up for those who are lost in their sin. Don't settle for anything less than that. I think our world shows you all these different options about how you can make yourself better. Here is a king who gives himself for you, to save you, to bring you to himself because he loves you so much. Solomon looks and longs for God's king who is worthy to be enthroned over the whole world, who will reign forever, who gave himself and humbled himself for us. We should sing of this complete rule. Solomon's not yet finished. This song still has one more section. Solomon wants us to praise our God as king. Kind of the psalm, after tackling what qualifies this king to have this rule, jumps into another verse of kind of blessedness of this king. And actually this psalm doesn't slow down, it actually speeds up. It crescendos up as the kind of the blessings of this king from this king over the nations kind of pour out. The nations kind of hear and receive this blessing and they call back to this king in praise. This psalm moves kind of from praising Jesus, this king, to praising God and thanking him, blessing him, praising and his name forever as it moves towards the end. Can I see this summarized in verse 17? May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. The language kind of all gets mixed up there now. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Solomon gets to the end of his psalm. This part of the book of Psalms comes to a close. And they're all longing for this promised king. The king that he longs for, though, with all these attributes, can only be one person. Someone who's going to live forever, rule forever, reigning over the whole earth. The only one that the nations should ever call blessed and praise his name forever. Is God himself. Solomon longs and looks for a time when God will come and rule over his people forever. In the midst of his people, who will rule rightly and pour out his blessings on his people. Solomon longs for a time when God would come and clothe himself in humanity. When the Son of God and the Son of David meet perfectly in the person Jesus. Solomon longs for when God will come and rule and love his people and give himself for them. Many manuscripts of this psalm begin with the words, kind of, it's not in your Bible because it's not the words of the original psalm, but they understood, they write up the top, they say, this is about the Messiah. You know, before Jesus, they're longing for this king. They're longing for their saviour. This song lifts our eyes to see the glory and beauty of the Son reigning, pouring himself out for his people. A reign which begins with Jesus' death. And there's also a vision for us as we look for Jesus' return, when all of this becomes a reality that we will live in and with forever. This is a song for you when there is injustice, that Jesus would bring justice. This is a psalm, a song for when things are going well, to praise him for his rule and his provision, when God works all things for the good of those who love him. This is a song for you when you're suffering, for us to lift our eyes to our King, who steps down and defends us, who saves us from death, who gave his own life to redeem us. We long for his return where this becomes our reality forever. When the kingdom of Solomon will look so small. When we go to a city that is like described in Revelation as a city made of gold with gems and pearls as doors. The whole point of that is to say, look, Solomon's kingdom is so small. Solomon has painted this picture, this image of Jesus' ultimate rule in all of its glory and in all of its angles, so that he would be the delight of in our eyes, the joy of our heart, the hope that captures our imagination in reality. This is the psalm for us when we are so easily distracted, when we so often turn and try and do things by our own strength. When we put our hope in the things of this world and this life, when we think that they will satisfy us, this psalm should come to your mind and draw your attention back, because Solomon points you higher, points you to Jesus and say, look, here and here alone is all we need. Here is one who gives himself for your security, even from death, even through suffering. Here in Jesus is all we need. A King who will take us to himself and give you peace and comfort. Solomon wants us to know this King who's in God's very image. Solomon wants us to long for and sing of his complete rule. Solomon wants us to praise our God as King. We're so easily distracted. We so much need his help. So let's come now and ask him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this image of Jesus as the King who reigns over the whole earth, who reigns supreme, but loves his people so much. Lord, give us eyes to see that which we often look away from, which we're distracted from. Lord, help us to turn our eyes towards Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, so that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of this glory and grace. Amen.